Let's face it, living takes guts, and living a full life takes a lot of guts. Igniting Courage podcast is the place you can come to get a blast of courage from real people who are clawing their way through life just like you are. We're going to talk about big courage and also little daily courage. You'll hear people's opinions on how to build courage and how to summon it when you would rather join the circus and never be heard from again. So welcome. I'm glad you had the guts to show up for this conversation. Hello, happy listeners, and welcome to Igniting Courage podcast. I am thrilled about this interview because this is my friend Noelle Sprouse. She and I were friends in sixth grade in Greece when both of us lived in Athens, Greece. I had not talked to her for however many years it had been between then and now, and she contacted me about being on the podcast, and when I heard her story, I said, absolutely, that courageous journey needs to be heard. And figuring out who you are and coming out of addiction and being in a good place and a better place. And I tell you, Noelle's energy and enthusiasm and newfound joy for life is infectious. You will find yourself grinning like an idiot this entire podcast. So I hope you enjoy and get some important perspective and courage to go through your own journey of self-discovery and joy discovery. Have a great day, y'all. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, hey, Noelle Sprouse, how are you today?
I'm great, Anne.
Thank you so much for jumping on the podcast. I think it's been, 35 years before since we've had a meaningful conversation.
That's big numbers there.
I know, right? As the older I get, the worse I get at math because it doesn't feel good.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
It's great to reconnect with you. And so let's dive right into our courage here. Where, just for the fun of it, where's courage played in for you just today?
Well, just today, I had to go to the dentist for 2 hours.
Ooh.
And I used to be absolutely terrified. I used to not even be able to think about going without being premedicated. And I went today and I had no premedication, no nothing.
Great. Good for you. How'd you feel?
Tired.
Terrified.
Tired and terrified.
But you lived. Good for you. Yeah,
I did.
Sometimes the routine stuff just gets you. So how about courage in your life? I know you've had some big courage that you've had to deal with. So tell us your story.
Well, I've suffered from depression since I was probably about 14 years old. Mm-hmm. It went undiagnosed for a very long time. I had a suicide attempt at 14.
Wow.
And from then on, I just decided I was no longer going to feel pain. So I tried to hide all that away. Unfortunately, that doesn't work.
Especially when you're a teenager.
No, it doesn't. And so I turned to drinking. And I even knew probably about the time that I was 16 that it was a problem. But there was nothing I could do about it at that time. I felt that I had to weigh my options out. And it gave me the ability to continue living.
Drinking.
I felt at the time, yes.
Mm.
Now you have to realize this is a child's mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much what I did until... I didn't drink when I was pregnant. I was really careful about all that stuff. I thought that I was going to be fine, right? It didn't work that way. Once you have children, at least for me this happened, I wanted to give them everything I didn't have. And I realized that there was no way I was going to be able to give them anything in the state that I was in.
Mm.
So I quit drinking, and then I went to go see a psychiatrist who plied me with a lot of pills, and what I didn't realize was that I'd had surgery a few years back, and I'd been on pain pills for over a year, and I was addicted, and I didn't even realize it. I knew nothing about pills. I was a drinker. I never took that kind of stuff. And then when my surgery was over, the doctor said, bye, see ya. So I was 36 years old, and I entered AA for the first time. There was a process that was in place to get me to AA. And I feel that if I had not done one of those steps, I wouldn't be here today.
What do you mean by that?
Everything had to play out the way it needed to. I can see that now today from a totally different perspective. First, I went into a detox program, and then I went to inpatient, which was this was a very frightening time for me. And then from there, I went to outpatient and continued going to meetings. I worked very hard at trying to find every avenue that I possibly could without actually doing the work that I really needed to do on myself.
Yeah.
Every avenue. I tried everything. I always have felt that I had a calling to help others. And so I started helping people because that's what you're supposed to do to get better. That's part of something they taught me. But unfortunately, for someone like me, it was dangerous because I helped everybody. I ignored myself, I ignored my needs, I ignored my family, and I helped everybody else. That way I didn't have to focus and look at myself in the mirror every day.
Which, you know, letting go of the addictions is one thing, but taking a look in the mirror
that's
is a whole
totally
another
different
level.
Step.
Yeah.
For 10 years, I was getting sober. I thought I was doing the next right thing. They say, fake it till you make it. And I was trying so hard to fake it.
You're faking it like a champ.
It was a job.
Yeah.
I wanted to do this perfectly. Perfectly. Now, if anybody knows anything about life, perfection does not happen, especially on any kind of painful journey. And finally, one day, I had a nervous breakdown. I ended up in a mental hospital. One of the nurses there, when I was going to get my meds, stopped and he looked at me. And he said, this is not going to help you. What you need to do is help yourself and stop worrying about everybody else. You can stay on medication as long as you want, but it's not going to fix your problem. I was furious. He hurt my feelings. Furious! Went back to my room and I thought about it for a few minutes. I'm going to tell him I'm furious. I stomped back up there and I said, you really hurt my feelings. And he said, I'm sorry if that's what happened. That wasn't my intention. But you don't belong here. I just stopped and I looked around. He was right. This was just another avenue of me trying to find a way to not deal with myself. As time went on, I slowly started getting rid of the relationships that were not about a friendship. I started getting rid of people who only came to me when they needed me. It was very difficult because it took me a long time to realize that all these people that I'd been helping and going out of my way for, I thought they loved me. I thought it was about me being a good friend or me being a good person that they wanted in their life. But it wasn't. And it's not their fault. They were just sick. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I had to take a stand for myself. I needed to raise my kids. I needed to be a wife. And I needed to move on with my life. I even, for a small period of time, cut out my family. I needed to grow up. I hit 40 and my whole perspective changed. I started sitting in my pain instead of running from it. I started being uncomfortable. I started allowing myself to be afraid. These are all things that I never allowed myself to do. And when I look back, there's so many times in my life where I felt I wasn't worthy of happiness. And that wasn't true. Everybody is worthy of happiness. Everybody is worthy of love. Everybody needs this stuff in their life to go on. And I sat and I thought and I felt for the first time. I pretty much spent a year hidden in my house trying to figure myself out. But I learned so much. I leaned into the pain whenever I felt it. I was afraid, and I would say, okay, Noelle, you're afraid. That's okay. I started believing in myself and believing in my journey and realizing that I was never gonna be happy until I did the work that I needed to do on myself. I needed to stop playing the victim. I needed to stop blaming other people for my past. I needed to stop being afraid of the future. There were so many moments where I felt alone, but I needed to feel that so that I could move forward. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Well, I think it does, because you needed to feel it so you'd realize you lived through it.
Right.
And that everything would be okay on the other side of it.
Absolutely, and that's so true. I mean, people would say, you know you're going to be okay. And I would say, no, I'm not. I'm a complete hot mess. I'm not going to be okay. But the truth is, in the end, everything will be okay. Everything will be okay.
When I once heard somebody say, if it's not okay, it's not the end yet.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. When I was in rehab, I was terrified. And I was very lost. Believe it or not, I had a huge chip on my shoulder. And I went in there, and the first thing I said to those counselors, I said, I'm leaving in 28 days. And they looked at me, and they said, how about getting here first? And I'm like, well, that just makes me angry. Because everything made me angry. And then I happened to still be in treatment on Mother's Day. I'm going to try and get through this without getting upset. My children and my husband were allowed to visit me on Sundays. But
and how old are the kids now?
Oh, okay. Then first grade and preschool.
Okay.
So they were allowed to come visit me on the weekends. And I remember I was just so torn up about being in there on Mother's Day. My kids came to see me, and I had to leave. And they started crying. And my husband and I got in this huge fight just as I'm getting ready to leave. And they brought a bunch of Mother's Day gifts for me. And I got a couple cards from some of the women that I was friends with in AA. You'd be surprised how much just that little bit pushes you through the day. And I was holding all the gifts that they had given me, and I just fell apart. I just completely fell apart. I'm laying in my bed. I'm sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And I miss my kids, and I miss being a mother, and I miss being Noelle, and I miss all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, I heard this voice, and it said, are you done? Are you done, Noelle? Because now it's time for you to do the work you need to do. And I was just startled out of my, you know, self-pity party. And when I heard that voice, it was like the tension was lifted off my shoulders. And the next morning, I ran down to my counselor's office. I banged on that door, and I told her everything that had happened. And she started laughing at me. And I said, why is my pain funny to you? She says, I'm just happy for you. And I said, why? And she goes, because you're learning how to surrender. Surrender to me before that moment meant that I was going to fall apart and that I might die. But I didn't realize the other side of surrender and acceptance. It's freedom. It's freedom from your past, freedom from your fears of the future. I didn't realize at that moment, because I was still very sick, and I was thinking, I'm going to get out of here, and I'm just going to go do whatever I want to do. Of course, they wouldn't allow that. I had to call the place I was going next. They had to set it up, and I had to go through it. And if at any point in this, in my life, I feel like if I hadn't taken those steps, I wouldn't be here today. I would have let my depression take over me. Mm-hmm. I would have let my trauma past take over me. And in the end, I really think that what really pushed me was that pain. If I hadn't felt that pain, I wouldn't have been able to get over it and move on.
The pain of not being with your children on Mother's Day and feeling like you weren't there for them?
All of it. All that pain. Uh-huh. All that pain uh-huh. that I spent my life bricking up behind a wall. If I hadn't felt it, I wouldn't have come out of it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think we spend a lot of time trying to hide our emotions, hide our fears, hide our insecurities, and put on a good face. And I just stopped doing that. Because what am I teaching my children? If I can't be real and honest with them, they have gone through this with me.
So it was that why, that larger why that you said, whoa, I gotta get this together. Yeah.
I always knew I'd be a mother. But I also always knew that I was going to do whatever I had to do to give them safety, to give them security, to give them support, to give them the ability to become good people and have good lives. To do all for all of that I wanted for them, I had to get myself straight. I mean, there were lots of times where people cut me down left and right, and I thought, maybe you're right. Maybe I'm not a good mother, but I'm going to work a lot harder to be a better one every single day. And that's what I've done.
So was that post-Mother's Day surrender or breakdown or whatever you want to call it, was that kind of the main turning point where your thinking started to shift?
Yes, and it was funny because in the moment, I thought it was the end of a journey, not the beginning of the biggest, best journey you're ever going to be on. Because it's about finding your true self and honoring that, honoring everything that I tried to hide. And it's important. I couldn't see who I was. Other people would tell me what they saw, and I couldn't see it. And if I knew then that that was the beginning of a journey that would bring me to this place, I would have done it a hell of a lot sooner.
So where are you now? What has this led you to? Now, this was 6 years
ago?
Oh,
God. I've been sober for 10 years.
Okay.
And like I said earlier, I had to grow up. I had to stop blaming everybody for my problems. My marriage wasn't going good. It was my husband's fault. I didn't get along with my mother. It was her fault because she's such a horrible mother. I had one excuse after another. I think that what pushed me through, because there were times where I couldn't even think that there was a light at the end of the tunnel, let alone see one. But there have been people and situations placed in my life every day for me to realize that it was going to get better. And for me, I had to go deeper. And then I had to go back to my childhood. Noelle, what did you love before this? And I started looking at the little things. I couldn't even see beautiful flowers. I was so hurt and angry. Mm-hmm. I started looking at the flowers. I started looking at the color of the trees and the fall, you know, all the little things. And once I started looking at those little things and seeing the beauty in them, I started seeing more and more light. The more I sat in my pessimism and my anger and my pain, the darker the world got. But the more I looked for stuff to be grateful for, the more I looked for stuff, you know, people think you have to be happy all the time. That's unrealistic. I have found grace and contentment in my life today. Is this exactly where I want to be? No. But it's where I need to be right now. And that's okay.
And I think that there's two pieces there that are just so important. First of all, is we see what we look for. If we're looking for all the bad, we're going to see it. We're going to see
Absolutely.
Proof that it's horrible. And you see, look for proof that it's good. And people look at me and roll their eyes, and I'm like, hey, I'm not happy all the time, just like you said. But I'm happy in general because I look for those good things. And
yes.
then the second thing you're saying is just because I'm happy now doesn't mean I want to be here forever. But
no.
it's part of the journey, and now is good, and tomorrow will be even better.
And yes, yes, because I will always push forward, even if that just means I have to get out of my pajamas today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's moving forward. You know, progress, not perfection. That's a huge thing, and that was a big lesson for me as well, because I'm a very big perfectionist, and like I said, I thought it had to be done perfectly. And then one day I saw this meme on Facebook, and it said, what you think sobriety is going to be, and there's, you know, A, B, straight line.
Uh-huh.
What sobriety really looks like. And it's like A, B, scribble, scrabble, everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. But that's not just sobriety, that's life.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful, it's beautiful, it's painful, it's exciting, it's all these things. And when I hid in my pain, I couldn't see any of that.
So what have you learned about yourself in the last 10
You know, want to know something really funny? There were certain things that I didn't even know about myself at all. I've learned that I'm intelligent. I did not believe I was intelligent for the longest time. I constantly talk down to myself. And, you know, everybody has these voices they hear in your head. And I find that it's helpful if you name those voices. Because I know when someone's saying something horrible about me, that's not my voice. That's somebody else's voice. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good strategy.
Because it works. That way you're not going, God, I'm so hard on myself. I'm so bad. All that negative self-talk. Did I answer your question?
Yeah. You absolutely did. All right, so what else did you learn about yourself? I love this.
Oh, God. What else did I learn about myself? I learned that I always knew I loved animals, but I have an innate ability to be very empathetic. I'm very compassionate. I am very, very sensitive, and people think that's a negative thing. And I've been told my whole life, God, Noelle, you're so sensitive. And now when people say that to me, I look at them and I say, yes, yes, I am, because I believe that's my gift. There are a lot of people out there that have a hard time getting to compassion. And it was very difficult for me in a lot of scenarios, you know, people who have hurt me in the past. I had to learn how to forgive them. Not for them, for me,
mm-hmm.
so that I could move on.
And that takes courage right there.
Yes. Every day that I woke up and fought my mental illness and my addiction was a day that I chose to survive and to work to get better. I've never given up. Unfortunately, I have had other people around me who have, and I've had to go to their funerals. That mm-hmm. is something I never want to have to do again. I want people to understand that there is hope and that there is light at the end of the tunnel, even if you're not in a place to see it. And that's okay, too. There's hope, even when you think there isn't.
So what do you recommend for people when they're in that point where they feel hopeless and they feel like, I can't do this, I don't have the courage, it's too scary, this is too much, I'm out. What do you recommend then?
It's a journey. I can't recommend one or two things. I have to recommend a path, right? You know, back when we knew each other, Anne, I don't know if you remember Mr. Waterman.
He was the vice principal, right?
He was the vice principal and the math teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
I was not very good at math, and so he taught the slower math class, which I knew I was going to. And I remember one day we walked in there, and he said, everybody stand up on your desk. And, of course, we're, what, sixth grade? And I'm thinking, oh, my God, we're going to get in trouble. He's like, do it. Get up on your desk. So we all get up on our desks. And he looks around the room, and he says, so what do you see? And I said, well, everything looks different from here. And he goes, exactly. This is one of the biggest lessons in your life that you need to learn right now, perspective. And I was sitting on my porch, deep in my own blah, and I remembered that. And I thought, oh, my God, that's amazing. What changes when you get a different perspective on life? And something else he taught us was also, there are two things that you have to do in life. That's it. And we said, pay taxes. He goes, no, you can go to jail for that. Pay your bills. Nope. Regardless of the consequences, two things in life that you have to do. And, of course, we were stumped. We had no idea. And he said, die and make choices. I could not believe that at 45 years old, that that message would ring so true to me today. Mm. Whenever I'm lost and I'm in the darkness and I can't see my way through, I try and gain perspective. If I can't gain it, I call somebody who can help me do that. Because let's be honest, we don't know how to do all this stuff. We need help along the way. And if you need help, reach out for it. Mm-hmm. Even if you're afraid, because you don't know when that time is going to come where the light's going to shine. Perspective. There's so many little stories to my story. But there were times where I utterly failed, Anne. I relapsed, and I couldn't even admit it to myself, let alone admit it to anybody else. And I was devastated. And finally, I got to see a real addictionologist. And I said, I'm really afraid because I couldn't admit it. I'm afraid I'm going to go out and start drinking again and really relapse. And he looked at me, and he just went really quiet, and he said, Noelle, relapse is part of the disease. And for the first time, I could hear it. And I went, oh, what a relief.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how hard we try to be positive, no matter how hard we try to lose weight, no matter how hard we try to save money, whatever it is that you want to do, whatever goal it is, there's going to be times where you're going to fail. But that's okay. That's okay.
Progress. Progress, it's not perfection, right?
Progress, yes. And how do you learn if you don't fail? I failed a lot, so I know a lot. But that's the joy in it all, the journey of it. And I also had to forgive a lot of people. And you know what? I had to forgive myself the most. Mm-hmm. And I had to accept myself for who I was.
Ooh, and I love that one. You know, part of forgiving yourself is forgiving yourself for not being who you've always been trying to be and just being yourself.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
And the other thing I learned is, like, I was trying to come out of this deep depression. I kept thinking to myself, I just want to go back to the person I was. I just want to be able to be this perfect mother. I just want to go back to the person I was. First of all, you can't go backwards, so you always have to move forward, so that's never going to work. You take that pain, you take that lesson you've learned, you take whatever it is, and you grow. You go forward and become an even better person. You don't go backwards, you go forwards.
Since you got sober, I know there probably have been dark moments. As you, you hear these stories of turning the corner, and I saw the light, and I learned I was worthy, and you know, it's this big higher on the cloud kind of thing. And I know that it's not that sunshiny of a journey, right?
Absolutely not. I really envy people who are religious and have faith in something bigger than them like that, that drives them. I'm too inquisitive. I want to know why, where, what, how. I'm not satisfied. I'm not. I need to know the answers. And I admire people that have that. And a lot of people rely on that. And unfortunately, the person I am, I could not. So I had to find a different way. And it was ugly. It was ugly and it was painful. And it took so much time. I mean, if you stop and think about it, I started drinking at 14. I am now 45 years old. Now, the studies say that, you know, your brain stops growing from where you started using. So I literally was growing from a 14-year-old to a 40-year-old. From the time I was 30, well, it's been 10 years. From the time I started my journey.
Yeah.
It was very difficult. I did not have a lot of support from my family. Sometimes this happens in addiction. I found that people were afraid to be around me, like it was catchy or something, you know? Or maybe I made them look at themselves in a way they really didn't want to. I don't know. But I made a lot of people uncomfortable, and I lost a lot of people that I thought were friends or would have my back. And it was devastating. But it's like coming out new. You have to shed these skins, you know, of everybody else's preconceived notions that you've been living in. And you have to find the true you, what really drives you. And for me, what always drove me was caring for other people. I'm a caretaker. It's what I do. It's what I'm good at. I couldn't accept that for the longest time. I like doing it. I like taking care of people. I like helping people. I've learned now boundaries so that other people's lives don't take over mine. That was a huge lesson for me. I did not know what boundaries meant at all.
Where's your depression now? Because that is, you know, a legitimate mental illness. And you got the addiction under control.
I actually did get rid of all the antidepressants. I stopped taking all the medications. I do take something for sleep that's prescribed by my psychiatrist, but that's it. I tried every antidepressant out there. Like I said, I tried every avenue so I wouldn't have to do the work. And in the end, it really didn't help. It may have gotten me through some really dark times, but in the end, it didn't help because it was almost like it was a panacea in a way. You know what I mean? And it really was, I had to do the work. I had to do the work. And so every day, I get up, and some days are harder than others. And when I told you earlier, I just lost my dog. So we had to put him down last week, and it was horrible. And in the middle of all that pain, I thought to myself, Noelle, don't block this. You need to lean into this. And I leaned into it, and I felt it, and everything was still okay. I'm still sad, but everything is still okay today. And today I know that. And today I know if I'm getting in trouble and I need help, I have people I reach out to. Because you can't do this alone. You can't. I didn't have the support I needed when I was younger, but I have this great support system now. I have my husband and two children, and I've been fighting it because I'm not used to having stability. You know? It feels uncomfortable. It feels scary. There's commitment involved.
Yeah.
I can't leave in three years. I moved so much that I didn't even understand being in a community, let alone really being a part of a relationship. Because we always left.
Yeah.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, you keep asking me that, and yes, you did. And even if you didn't, you said awesome things. So
Okay, good.
And, you know, when you told me, I think I want to get my story out there, I think it's important for people to hear, it is. You know, and everybody that's been through anything has a unique perspective. And it's important for people who aren't going through it to hear that perspective, because we can be more empathetic and understand where somebody's coming from when they're really in a really tough spot.
Yes.
But even more important, and I think that's really important, because there may be somebody in their life experiencing that too. But for that person who's in that dark corner, you know, behind the wall with no more space to put anything, and it's about to pop, you know, that message hopefully hits them at exactly the right time.
I hope so. That's what I want. I want to be able to reach out and help people and make them understand, even though I was utterly ashamed of my mental illness. I was utterly ashamed of my addiction. And I'm not saying that that's gone away either. It's something I work on every day by sharing my story with other people.
Right. And that's one of the things, as you said, I want to get my story out there. So thinking forward, thinking into the future, and thinking about other courageous moments like this, where you tell your story and you share the pain and you hopefully lessen the shame, because I completely understand where you're coming from with that. But of course, we all have our stuff, you know?
Yes.
What are you thinking as far as 1 year, 5 years down the road?
Oh, my God. This is something
that... Where are you going with this?
This is what's so great about the shift in my perspective. I moved to the D.C. area after growing up overseas and moving around a lot, and I was never thrilled with being here, but I've been able to come to a point where, yes, this is where I need to be. But now, all the things I was afraid of doing, I want to go and help the Asian elephants. I want to go to Africa and build houses or schools, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I would love to write a book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would love to write a book. I've been writing since I was 12 years old. Finding the strength within me to push me forward has given me such freedom. I felt like I was trapped, but the only person who was trapping me was me, with my own fears and my own ideas of stuff that isn't even really real. Now, I look at the future, and I'm like, I can take a trip, and I'll be okay. I can go to Africa or write a book or whatever. Everything's open to me now, where before I couldn't even see a pinhole. I want to help people and I want to help animals. I find animals for me are more of a grounding.
Mm-hmm.
They teach me so much about living in the moment, which we so desperately need.
Mm-hmm.
I find them very grounding. I want to take some classes. I've been painting. I'm horrible at it. Horrible. But I do it every day. I do it every day. I couldn't do that a year ago. I couldn't do that 2 years ago. I was too critical of myself. Now I sit down, and it's actually I get into like a meditative state. And it's teaching me how to speak to myself properly. I'm going to San Francisco in June. I'm also going to New Orleans in May. So I get to do some traveling, and I'm really excited.
Sounds like you have a pretty great, there's probably a huge network of support, of course. But the one that's stuck by, close by your side, it sounds like, is your husband.
Yeah, you know, when I first started getting sober, I was so jealous of the single people. I was so jealous of them. I'm like, this is so unfair. I have a family and a husband that I have to take care of, and I can't take care of myself. I was so jealous of them. Honestly, my husband and I say that the reason we're still together through all this is because we're both very stubborn. We don't give up easily. And there have been some horrible times. There have been times where I didn't think that our marriage would recover, you know? But I also had these strange ideas of what I thought a man should be. I thought when you met someone and married them, that meant they never hurt you again.
Isn't that cute?
It's cute, right? Yeah. And I learned that my children and my husband have taught me how to love unconditionally, because I did not believe in unconditional love until I had my first son. Mm-hmm. Then when my second son came along, I was terrified because I thought I couldn't possibly love him as much as I love my other son. Because I thought love was measured. You were only given a certain amount to give out. And then when my second son was born, this whole other avenue of love opened. I couldn't believe it. And I realized that's why love's so powerful, because it's endless. And then my husband, he has sat next to me. He has cried with me. He has done stupid stuff, and I've wanted to kill him for it. But let me tell you something. He is loyal. He is very loyal. When he asked for my hand in marriage, you know what my father said to him? Are you sure you know what you're getting yourself into? And I looked at him, and then he says, honey, not a boring minute.
Aww.
I am so grateful for them. They have taught me so much. And I'm grateful for becoming a mother because it opened up a whole new avenue of love for me. And I actually sat there one day and I'm like, oh, that's it. That's the secret of life. It's love. Because everything ends in love. Everybody wants to meet somebody that they fall in love with. Love, compassion, and empathy. Those are three things that are so important.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny, as I talk to different people on this podcast about courage, so often it comes right back to that.
Yes. You know, I don't know if you ever listened to that. Oh, what's her name? Inyala Fix My Life?
No.
It's a show, but something she said that's so true. She goes, do your work. You have to do the work to get better. You're not just going to get better just sitting in it. You have to move forward, even if it's at a glacial speed every day. I move forward. And I find joy in all the little things.
That's awesome. Well, I know that some people are going to be very moved and have a new way to think about the world, and your energy is infectious. Every time you get excited, I'm like sitting here getting all excited and get this big stupid grin on my face, and I'm so excited to reconnect with you. It's at the beginning of this new journey, I would say. Not at the end of that journey, but at the beginning of this new journey. That's not even the beginning. It's 10 years in, but you've come so far, and that's so exciting, and I really appreciate your courage in sharing the story. And
Thank you.
I look forward to seeing what's next.
Me too.
Yeah,
me too.
Exactly. If it's okay with you, I'll share your social media so people can say hi to you if you moved them, and maybe you'll be able to move.
That would be great. That would be fantastic.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for getting on and for your time.
Well, and thank you for listening. And I hope that I brought hope.